20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 425 of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the special post-game edition of the show. My name is Andy Herman. You can follow me at Packer Report, and you can also follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. Today, I'm going to be breaking down the Packers' 27-16 victory over the Denver Broncos. Of course, the Packers moved to 3-0 on the season. Lots to discuss, lots to cover. I want to start off just by kind of going over some of the statistics. We'll go through some standout players, a lot of my observations from today's game. Let's kick it off and get started right away. Aaron Rodgers, 17 of 29, 235 yards and a touchdown, no picks. Jamal Williams had an interesting day, 12 carries, 59 yards. MVS, 6 catches, 99 yards and a touchdown. Blake Martinez led the way with 12 tackles. Preston Smith had 3 sacks and a forced fumble. Za'Darius Smith had 2 sacks. Rashawn Gary had his first sack of his NFL career, also had a fumble recovery. And then, of course, Jaire Alexander with that incredible forced fumble and fumble recovery of his own. Definitely some standout players from today's games, and wasn't always the cleanest game. The defense had some struggles. The offense had some struggles. Of course, I think you're always going to take a win in the NFL, and a 27-16 victory at home, you're not going to complain about that too much. Let's start with some of the standout players first and foremost. I want to start with basically the two players who we've been highlighting every single game through 3 weeks so far, and that's Preston and Za'Darius Smith. The Smith brothers, the two players who have not only made an impact on the field, but in the locker room. Matt LaFleur made mention of that in his press conference again today. These two players have just been an absolute revolution for this defense. You go from Nick Perry and Reggie Gilbert and Clay Matthews to bringing in Preston and Za'Darius Smith, of course, Rashawn Gary as well. These two players have completely changed the tone of this defense. They've changed what type of production you can get from the edge rushers. They've changed the fact that Mike Pettine doesn't have to be 110% smoke and mirrors to try to get pressure on defense. They can get pressure on their own. Za'Darius can play all over the place. We've seen Preston drop into coverage. We've seen them come up with big plays at big moments. Preston Smith with another forced fumble today that really was a game-changing play in this game. You see Za'Darius Smith end the game with a sack. The drive before, Preston Smith gets in there with a sack. It has just been so insanely incredible to watch how Green Bay has gone from a position of complete need that was completely bare. Yes, Kyler Fackrell had 10 sacks a season ago, and yes, he is a very solid rotational player and continues to be so for Green Bay, but this is just a night and day difference for what they have at that edge rusher position. 5 sacks and a forced fumble for those two combined today. You just cannot say enough about the effort, the energy, the intensity that those two play with, and it really sets up the rest of the defense for their success. And again, there's literally not enough words to go on about how those two have impacted this team so far. And let's not forget, those two signings were announced a few hours from one another. I mean, Brian Gutekunst just deserves so much credit for going out and getting Adrian Amos, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Billy Turner to open up free agency. He did not wait around. I've spoken about this before. There were 3 positions that were just of absolute epic need: safety, edge rusher, guard. Those were the 3 positions that consistently graded the lowest for me last year. He goes out and he gets 2 big-time players at each of those positions, Amos and Savage at safety, Za'Darius Preston actually, and Rashawn Gary at edge, and then Elton Jenkins and Billy Turner at guard. He did not mess around. He did not wait for players to get better. He did not just wait for, maybe a late round pick or an undrafted guy to need to step in and kind of take over maybe one of those positions. He attacked it aggressively, and now he has a aggressive attacking defense because of it. And kudos again to Brian Gutekunst. Kudos to Preston and Za'Darius Smith. Certainly the two players that deserve a ton of kudos and a ton of talk for their efforts through the first 3 games of this season. And we're kind of staying on the same page here as my second standout player from this game, and that's Darnell Savage, another player that Brian Gutekunst deserves a ton of credit for going up and getting, again, moving up in the draft to get their top-rated safety. And he has been a player that has been so fun to watch, especially when it's juxtaposed against the safety play from a season ago with Kentrell Bryce and HaHa Clinton Dix and Jermaine Whitehead and Eddie Pleasant and so on and so forth. Darnell Savage is a attacking, aggressive safety with ball skills. He comes up with the interception today, but it was a couple of the other plays that really stood out. Just how he comes down and attacks the football, the ball carrier, and just makes football plays consistently. And I think that's something that, again, when you put that against what Green Bay had and showed on tape a season ago, this is not a player that gets in the open field and is afraid to make a play. Now, you can point out and say the Dalvin Cook play from last week. No question. That's a play that he needs to play better. That needs to be a, you know, 15, 25-yard gain instead of a 75-yard touchdown for Dalvin Cook. He will learn from that. And sometimes it's tough to get excited about some of the Darnell Savage plays because it's usually a play for the offense that was usually a successful play, right? So there were a couple plays in this game. I remember one where Philip Lindsley had a 9 or 10 yard gain up the middle, and it was a nice pickup for Denver. But Darnell Savage just comes up aggressively and just puts an absolute thud on Philip Lindsley. And yes, again, you might look at it and say, like, well, it's a good play for Denver, but it had the ability to be a much bigger play if Darnell Savage doesn't come up and play that perfectly. You know, later in the game, he comes up. He's the last line of defense. Kevin King had missed a tackle. He's the last player to come up and make a play, and he does so seamlessly and puts a pretty good, you know, hit on, I think it was Philip Lindsley on that play once again. So kudos to Darnell Savage. Again, he plays aggressive. He plays fast. There's going to be some ups and downs for him. And again, we saw that last week in Minnesota, but he is a player that, again, this week was flying around the football, again, comes up with the interception, and you're going to see a lot more out of that from him in his young career and going forward as well. He's going to be a big-time player for this defense. Next up for standout players, Jaire Alexander. He followed up a really nice week last week with some ups and downs. There were a couple plays, you know, where he did get beat, and he missed a couple plays in the running game as well against Minnesota. Again, you know, really playing against two of the best receivers in football. Certainly a winning performance, a very positive grade for me and my grades last week. But there are a couple plays that he would like to have back. Obviously, the big touchdown to Stephon Diggs. You could go back and forth how you want to analyze that one, but he was in a position to make a play on the ball and just came up a little bit short. This week, there was really none of that. He was sticky in coverage. You end this game with Emmanuel Sanders having two catches for 10 yards. Just a massive game. And then you have the forced fumble recovery. That was a big game-changing moment as well. And that's just pure effort, energy, and intensity for Jaire Alexander. Matt LaFleur was asked about him after the game, and he said, quote, "You can't say enough about Jaire and the effort and energy that he plays with every game. It's awesome to see when you stress something and he makes it come to life." So obviously Matt LaFleur, very impressed with Jaire Alexander, certainly a player that continues to get better and better and is still so young in his career, and it's crazy where he's at this early in that career. And then last on my list of standout players was Jamal Williams. Not a monster game by any stretch of the imagination, but 14 touches for 86 yards, was a factor not only in the running game, but in the passing game as well. Again, not a breakout, you know, massive performance by any stretch of the imagination, but he really ground out some tough yards. I thought he ran hard. I thought he ran well, and was just a player that on offense for a day in a game where there wasn't a lot of standout performances. MVS had a really nice game, but also had a couple drops. Rodgers had a nice game, but lost kind of some rhythm as the game went on. I just thought really anytime Jamal Williams touched the ball today, he brought a little bit of energy, brought a little bit of swagger, and more importantly, just ran tough. So I wanted to shout out that as well. And then a quick shout out, not necessarily a standout player, but Rashawn Gary gets his first sack as well. Also had a fumble recovery. So a good day for him. And he's certainly seems to be on the rise, playing more every single game, and we started seeing a little bit more results out of Rashawn today. So those were my standout players. The next thing I really wanted to touch on was the defense's day in general. This was a much maligned performance in a lot of ways throughout the course of the game, at least if you were kind of paying attention to Twitter and how fans were reacting to it. And I guess that says a lot about the Packers' defense if they're playing well enough that when they allow a total of 16 points and get three turnovers and a bunch of sacks in a game, that it looks like a bad performance. And listen, that's not to say that there weren't some things that Green Bay needed to get cleaned up from this game. There absolutely were. They missed too many tackles. Denver had 149 yards rushing. They went 8 of 15, kind of 9 of 15 on third down conversions. They held the ball for 35 minutes and 24 seconds. So there were things that Green Bay's defense needed to do better. And I think if you look at plays like Philip Lindsay's touchdown, where it was fourth and goal and Dean Lowry had him behind the line of scrimmage and then couldn't come down with a tackle, that's a play where I think you got to get cleaned up, and those are plays that Green Bay's defense has to make. But all in all, I thought this was still a pretty positive performance from the defense. So let's start with third down conversions. First of all, give Denver's offense credit for staying out of third and long situations. And I think this is really one of the biggest weapons that Green Bay has, is Mike Pettine and the sub-package defenses that he puts together on third and long, his pressure packages, being able to bring players from all different angles, completely confuse quarterbacks. That's a big weapon that Green Bay has. And I think Denver really went into this game saying, we can't let Green Bay beat us that way. And I think Minnesota kind of put together that blueprint a little bit. If you go back and watch that game, they stayed in a ton of base personnel. They didn't get a lot of 3-4 wide receiver looks on the field. And Green Bay wasn't really able to put a ton of their sub packages on the field in that game either. It hasn't been since week one where Green Bay was able to play a ton of their sub package defense. And I think Denver really took kind of a page from Minnesota's playbook and tried to stay out of some of those situations. And really, they were successful. So if you look at their third down conversions, they had 15 of them. So they went 8 of 15 technically. That's partly because Jaire Alexander ripped the ball away after they had converted the first down. They had gotten past the first down marker. So let's take that turnover away, and let's say that when they were actually trying to get the first down, they were 9 of 15 is how I'm going to look at it here. And when they were third down and 6 yards or less, they were 8 of 11 on third down. So again, 11 out of the 15 third down conversions were 6 yards or less, which is very manageable down in distance. Again, it takes some of the pressure packages and what Mike Pettine wants to do away. And a lot of those were 2 and 3 yard conversions. So 8 of 11 when it was 6 yards or less. When it was 7 yards or more, they only converted 1 out of every third down conversion. So first of all, credit again Denver's offense for staying out of some of those third and long situations. But I do think Green Bay's defense still deserves a lot of credit in this game. So again, Denver did a lot of good, 149 yards rushing. They controlled the clock. They stayed out of third and long situations. But Green Bay's defense still had 3 turnovers, only allowed 16 points, had 6 sacks, only allowed 3.9 yards per carry. So while Denver's offense had a good day rushing the ball, only 3.9 yards per carry. So it wasn't like they were gashing them for a ton of long gains, and at the end of the day, they ended with, 5-6 yards per carry. Still only 3.9, so not terrible. They have not yet allowed 20 points in a game, so held them to 16 points this game, so they've kind of kept that streak intact through 3 games. They've only allowed 35 points in 3 games, basically 3 points per quarter so far. So there are a lot of things that the defense has continued to do well and that continued into this game. And what you have to look at is not necessarily the yardage. You have to look at the points. This is a new era in the NFL. And if you kind of go back and study a lot of the defenses, this is not the first time you're going to hear, bend but don't break. That's been something that's been around for a very long time. But defenses have really embraced that, especially over the course of the last couple of years. They're willing to give up yardage, and they're willing to give up, 3.9 yards per carry if they can limit the opposing offense, any opportunity to get big plays. And big touchdown plays especially. What defensive coordinators really want you to do is they really want you to have to drive the length of the field, go 70, 75, 80 yards, and make it one of these 15, 20, 15 to 18 play drives in order to score a touchdown. And Green Bay's really done a nice job with that. So today they actually allowed 2 touchdown drives. And those were actually the first 2 touchdown drives that they allowed all season long. If you look at the 2 touchdowns against Minnesota, huge run by Dalvin Cook, huge catch by Stephon Diggs. No touchdowns for Chicago. And then today they allowed the 2 big actual drives. Yeah, I think they're around 15 play drives to Denver where they actually allowed touchdowns. One of those was on the 4th down conversion. But what they're trying to do is make you do that consistently. And the thinking behind that is when you have to go those 15 play-ish drives and you can't get big explosive plays, at some point you're going to make a mistake. And maybe that's a sack where it puts you into one of those, you know, third and long situations and you have to punt the ball away. Maybe it's a holding penalty that gets you first and 20. Maybe it's just a false start or, again, something that gets you behind the chains. Maybe it's a turnover. Maybe it's just something that they, you know, they can't consistently put those type of plays together and the defense can hold you three or four and out at some point. So they're betting that you can't go 15, 16 plays without making a catastrophic mistake on that specific drive. And through three games, Green Bay has been successful at that. And to be fair, if Dean Lowry makes that tackle on fourth and goal, or if the Packers defense comes up with that stop on fourth and goal, they would have only allowed one real touchdown drive through three games. So that philosophy is working. And again, this isn't to absolve the Packers defense from any errors. You know, Kevin King had a missed tackle in the open field. We talked about the Dean Lowry missed tackle and the Packers missed tackle on fourth and goal. There were a couple other plays. You know, Kevin King got beat kind of on a double move. We saw last week Darnell Savage gets beat in the open field in the Delvin Cook touchdown. You know, Jaire Alexander on the Stephon Diggs play. So this isn't to say that some of those plays can't get cleaned up. But you're basically trying to play house rules. You're trying to be the casino. You're trying to give them the least, most opportune advantages to try to come up and score points. And defenses are willing to take some risks and say, we'll give up some of these, you know, 5 and 6 yard runs, 5 and 6 yard completions here and there, because we're going to be able to bring some pressure at times. We're going to be able to force some turnovers. We're going to be able to force some sacks. You're going to have some penalties. And then that's when we'll get off the field. And if along the way we allow, some field goals here or there, that's fine. And if you look at it, I know I kind of just went over this a little bit, but the four touchdowns that Green Bay has allowed so far, again, Dalvin Cook touchdown, Stephon Diggs touchdown, and the two Phillip Lindsay touchdowns, right? The one Phillip Lindsay touchdown, the first one today, that one actually a legitimate touchdown drive, legitimate touchdown. All right. On the three other touchdowns, if Darnell Savage makes the tackle in the open field against Cook, if Jaire Alexander comes down and either just knocks the ball away or comes up with an interception against Stephon Diggs, and if Dean Lowry comes up with that tackle on fourth down against Phillip Lindsay, that's only one touchdown allowed in four games. And the reason I bring that up isn't to say, oh, what if, or how close were they? Because it doesn't matter. They allowed four touchdowns is the bottom line. The reason that's important is Mike Pettine is putting his players in positions to be successful. He is doing his job to get his defense off the field. Four touchdowns allowed, three of them could have been non-touchdowns if the Packers execute on those specific plays. So that's really what I wanted to point out here, is just how good of a job that Mike Pettine has done at getting his players in positions to be successful, getting them in positions to be able to make turnovers. With even just a little bit better execution, I think Green Bay can start making some of those plays, and I think they could even potentially get better on defense, which is really saying something, again, especially when they've only allowed 35 points so far through three games in the season, which is really, really incredible, especially when you look at where this defense has been through the course of the last few years. There's also some concerns in this game. So a lot of positives. Defense continues to remain a positive. You know, offense has been up and down, probably a little bit more down than up through the course of three games. But here were some of my main concerns coming out of this game and kind of what I've seen through three games so far. The first one is the lack of explosive plays through the running game. So there have been some grinded out performances running the football. I thought Green Bay did a really nice job in week two against Minnesota. Aaron Jones had over 100 yards. They were tough yards to come by, but they did their best, and they got a 100-yard rushing game. It set up some play action, and of course they get out of there with a win. Today, those yards were even harder to come by. But if you look at it as a whole through three games, their longest run of the year is only 15 yards. And Aaron Jones is a very explosive running back and has the ability to really be dynamic in the open field. And we just haven't seen that yet from this offense, from Aaron Jones, or from really anyone carrying the ball. When you're three games in and your longest run is 15 yards, it just shows that you're having trouble getting explosive plays, getting to the second level, and making defenders miss. And I think if you have kind of been watching closely, there haven't been a lot of opportunities for the running backs to get one-on-one on the second level and make some of those plays. And I think that's really been the issue. So kudos to the offense, the offensive line, the running backs for grinding out some tough yardage. But until this offense starts getting some explosive plays in the running game, it's going to continue to be a grind. And that's something that they really have to figure out over the course of the next few weeks and, of course, the rest of the season. Game in 3 days, so they'll have an opportunity to maybe get some explosive runs against a pretty beat-up Philly defense. So hopefully that comes sooner rather than later. But that's one concern that I have at this point is just the lack of explosive plays in the run game. The second concern I have is with the secondary weapons on this team. The tight ends, the receivers 3 through 6, those type of players are really where I have my concerns with. So if you look at 3 games so far, so basically any wide receiver or tight end on the roster that's not named Davante Adams or Marquez Valdes-Scantling, through 3 games, they've had 24 targets, only 15 catches, 159 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Now, 2 touchdowns for that group of player, not so bad. But 15 catches for 159 yards through 3 games for every receiver and tight end not named MVS or Davante Adams. That's just not a ton of production, especially from that tight end group. They're basically averaging 5 catches and 53 yards per game. Now, people have pointed out this is a more balanced offense, right? So they're running the football more. They're trying to spread the ball around more. The running backs are receiving more targets out of the backfield. So there's only going to be so many targets to go around. And that may be why the third and fourth receivers and the tight ends just haven't been able to maybe come up with some of those plays. But there has to be more production. They have had 24 targets. 15 catches on 24 targets is not great, but more importantly, 159 yards on 24 targets is really where the issue is. There's been no explosive plays. Jimmy Graham had a pretty solid first game of the year, especially when you count in the pass interference penalty, the touchdown. You know, he hurdled the one player. That was kind of the one okay game, but players like Geronimo Allison, Robert Tonyan, Jimmy Graham as a whole through 3 games, those players have yet to really step up and make an impact. Geronimo's had a really tough start to the season, the fumble last week. He did have the touchdown, had a drop this week, had another screen pass this week that went for negative yardage. So he's got to find a way to get going, and overall Green Bay's got to find more production out of their secondary weapons. Last week I noted against Minnesota when I was putting my grades together, Davante Adams and Aaron Jones scored plus 3.40 in my grading system for week 2. The rest of the running backs, fullbacks, wide receivers, tight ends combined, negative 3.3. So as it goes right now, MVS had a better game this week, no question about it. But as it goes right now, this is kind of Davante, Aaron Jones, MVS, maybe a little Jamal Williams sprinkled in. Those are the players that they have to count on right now. It's not like the cupboard's bare, right? Davante Adams is a really big-time wide receiver. We've seen some signs out of MVS. Aaron Jones has the ability to be a big-play running back. He hasn't shown it this year yet, but we know that that's something he's more than capable of. We've seen some plays from Mercedes Lewis. We saw a big play today to Danny Vitale. But overall, the secondary weapons on this team have to step up, and that's still a big concern for this offense, and I think a big reason why they haven't had sustained success through the course of a game so far. And then my other concern, not so much on the season, but today, the player that maybe, at least at first glance, didn't have the greatest game, Kevin King, had the big missed tackle in the open field that led to a big game. Later had a missed, basically a miss on a double move to Cortland Sutton, where he kind of lost track of where the ball was. I saw some people saying after the game that maybe he thought that he was going to have safety help. I think that honestly he was covering on the play and thought the ball went elsewhere and kind of just stopped and then all of a sudden realized that, you know, Cortland Sutton caught the ball and then he had to kind of go chase him down for the tackle. So some not great plays. He did have a nice stop on third down later in the game where he made a sure tackle to get the defense off the field. I think Kevin King's in a really interesting spot where a lot of the fan base just wants him to stay healthy and is upset with him because he hasn't been able to stay healthy, which to me is still ridiculous. You can't control injuries. It is what it is. I get the old adage, your best ability is availability, but it's tough to take that out on a player. And then there's another group of players that I think to an another group of fans, I guess I should say, that I think overrate Kevin King just a little bit. And we saw some really great things in week two, and I think overall he's put together a pretty nice season so far, but he's still not a total complete player, and I think we saw a little bit of that today. Last week he had a solid grade, but it wasn't like this spectacular grade overall from me when I was kind of going back through it. And I think this week he showed a little bit of that as well. He still struggles with in-breaking routes. He can struggle with double moves from time to time. Don't get me wrong, this defense is much better with Kevin King on the team. We've seen that for 2 years now. But I think some people are still believing that when he's healthy and on the field, that he's like this top-tier corner. And I just don't think he's shown that quite yet. So he's good. He's a talented player. Green Bay's better when he's on the field. But today had a couple hiccups, some things that he needs to get cleaned up. And I still think he has a little ways to go before he really solidifies himself as one of the really top-tier corners in this game. Unlike Jaire Alexander, who, by the way, is well on his way to being one of those top tier corners. So tough day for Kevin King, but I have no doubts that he's going to bounce back and have better days going forward. Some other interesting notes from today's game. Josh Jackson got some play at safety. So this is something that a lot of people have been clamoring for. This was more of a dime type position at first glance. It looked like Will Redmond was still getting some nickel snaps at safety. Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage were there in the base. And then it looked like Josh Jackson was there in some of the nickel situations. So he was playing that deep safety along with Darnell Savage. So that's something to keep an eye on. Like I said, a lot of people have been calling for that, wanting him to play some safety. I had hypothesized that, that with Raven Green's injury, that maybe, just maybe, there would be a Tremont Williams sighting at safety to try to get some of these corners like Tony Brown and Josh Jackson on the field. That was not the case. They did not move Tremont Williams around. He stayed at cornerback. And instead, it was really Josh Jackson that got some of the opportunity there. So Josh Jackson has great ball skills, and he is best in zone coverage. So because of that, it would lend itself well to playing a safety position. He struggled last year coming up and making pure tackles. So if he's going to play safety, he needs to tackle really well. He was not put in any compromising situations this week, at least that I saw at first glance. So that's something that's worth keeping an eye on. But obviously Green Bay feels comfortable with him there if they were playing him there. And I think that's a positive development for Josh Jackson and potentially this Packers defense as a whole. Another interesting note, I was going through and taking a look. So Green Bay was never losing in this game. They were never losing against Minnesota. And in fact, it had been since the Bears went up 3-0 in the first quarter of game one in Chicago. 6 minutes and 1 second later, Jimmy Graham scored a touchdown at the beginning of the second quarter, and that was the last time that Green Bay trailed at any point this season. So a heck of a start for Matt LaFleur and this team overall, where they go down 3-0. 6 minutes later, they take the lead, and they have not been down since. They've played 180 minutes of total football, and they've trailed for, again, only 6 minutes and 1 second, and they've never trailed for more than a field goal through three games so far. So hopefully they can keep that up against Philadelphia. More interesting notes, the NFC North. Lions and Vikings win today. Of course, the Bears plan Monday Night Football against Washington. NFC North goes 3-0 this week, including the Packers. They are 8-2-1, the NFC North, that is, going into the Bears game on Monday night, 8-2-1. The only two losses in the division, both at the hands of your Green Bay Packers. So Green Bay is definitely making some noise within this division. It is going to be a very tough division. Again, they have not lost to anyone outside of Green Bay so far. So the NFC North continues to put up victories. Thankfully, the Packers are 3-0. They have two of those wins against division opponents and hopefully can go to 4-0 again as they take on Philadelphia this coming Thursday. That mostly does it for me today. A solid performance from Green Bay. There's a lot to clean up here, right? The offense is not clicking on all cylinders. Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur have both, agreed to that and been vocal about that as well. But there's a little bit more accident forgiveness, of course, when you are starting 3-0 and off to the start that they are. I also think that the defense's performance, while spectacular and while phenomenal and while really impressive overall and a huge night and day difference from a season ago, it's been against Mitch Trubisky, against Kirk Cousins, and against Joe Flacco. And I do think that there's some questions as to how Green Bay will respond when they're playing some bigger quarterbacks, some big-time quarterbacks, and somebody that's able to push the ball down the field a little bit more, be a little bit more accurate, be a little bit more dynamic. Carson Wentz has the ability to be that type of player. He may or may not be without Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson as they go into this week. They were without those two players today as they lost against the Detroit Lions. So, what type of weapons they have on Thursday will really be worth monitoring. But I am very excited to see how Green Bay can play against a quarterback like Carson Wentz, who just has a lot more talent than maybe some of the quarterbacks that they've played so far. So, overall, 3-0, a lot to be excited about. Green Bay, you cannot be disappointed with where they're at. There can be things that they can still clean up, but being 3-0 and being able to clean those things up, hopefully going forward, is exactly where you want to be at this point in the season. Green Bay gets ready for Eagles on Thursday Night Football. Quick turnaround. We'll see how they respond to that. We get you ready for that game as Jake and Ross start getting you ready tomorrow. They'll start taking a look at some of the key matchups and reviewing some of the biggest storylines for Thursday night's game. I'm sure they'll have some takeaways from today's game or the game against the Broncos as well. That does it for me today. This has been a lot of fun. I'm losing my voice. I was at the game. It's been a wild ride. I was at the game last week too, and just been a lot of fun to be out there, see how this team is performing, and to see them go 3-0 in the Matt LaFleur era. Listen, the Packers are 3-0. They have one of the top defenses in football and have another game in 3 days. Enjoy it, everyone. This doesn't always happen. It's been a lot of fun to start the season. I'm going to leave you, as always, with a big Go Pack Go. Enjoy it.